Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Saturday, May 11, 2019. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. I, of course, am Ariel Helwani. We've been doing this since the ESPN UFC deal started back in January, the afternoon or so of a big show, a big pay-per-view, a big event. We come on the radio. We talk to all of you. Ariel Helwani's MMA show has been a staple on Mondays for the past 10 years. In case you don't know, we talk to the biggest names in the sport, the great sport that is mixed martial arts, every Monday from 1 to 4-ish p.m. Eastern time. But on this show, our pay-per-view preview show, we like to talk to all of you. And I love doing this. And it's become somewhat of a tradition now. And so, of course, we are here getting you set for a very big night in the sport of mixed martial arts. Yes, I know the NBA playoffs are in full swing. And yes, I know my Toronto Raptors are going to win Game 7 tomorrow night. And yes, I know the NHL playoffs are in full swing. And there's baseball. And there's all kinds of things. But my friends, there is nothing like fight night in the sport of mixed martial arts. When a big fight is coming together, a big event is coming together, and that's what we have tonight. And not only do we have UFC 237, which of course is going down in beautiful Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, but we also have Bellator in Chicago with a massive card. We've got a lot of news breaking last night. Tony Ferguson is back. He is fighting in Chicago. UFC 238, June 8th. There is a ton going on. A ton going on. This sport never sleeps. It's crazy. There's no off season. There's no breaks. Every weekend, another big event after the other. It's incredible. So I want to hear from all of you. Let me get a few things out of the way, and then we'll get you set for what we're going to talk about, because I also have a trivia question. First time that I'll be doing this, I have a trivia question that I don't think anyone will get, but I'm going to throw it out there, and I hope that you can prove me wrong. Number one, this show presented by Progressive Insurance. As always, all guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and you can tweet us at the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed that's at ESPN Radio. The number to call, this is most important, is 1-888-729-3776. That's 1-888-SAY-ESPN. Again, 1-888-729-3776. Typically, Mondays, Wednesdays, I'm talking to guests, I'm talking to reporters. Today, you are the guest. You are the ones that I want to hear from. And so it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless here on the Helwani Show. I want to know what you think about tonight's card, UFC 237. It's Rose Namajunas against Jessica Andrade. Rose Namajunas, the UFC women's strawweight champion. In my opinion, she is on the verge of becoming one of the faces of the UFC. Thug Rose went into MSG around almost 2 years ago, knocked out Joanna Jędrzejczyk, came back in Brooklyn, beat her via decision rather convincingly. And at the time, Joanna was thought to be one of the most dominant champions in the UFC and without a doubt the most dominant strawweight champion of all time. And Thug Rose had just been, you know, through a very traumatic event. She was on the bus that Conor McGregor and his friends attacked at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. They were trying to get to Khabib Nurmagomedov. That's where that rivalry really exploded. She was on the bus leaving media day and thought that she was being attacked by terrorists. She curled up in a ball on the bus, and I spoke to her longtime boyfriend, former UFC fighter Pat Barry, shortly afterwards, and at the time, they didn't think that she would fight. She was that shaken up. Not only did she fight, she got over it. She beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk for a second time. But we have not seen Thug Rose fight in 13 months. That was her last fight. Part of it was because she was getting over that incident. I remember talking to her coach a couple of months later, Trevor Whitman. He told me that she couldn't leave her house, didn't want to leave her house. She was getting very anxious being around other people, which is 100% understandable. But on top of all of that, she was dealing with a serious neck injury. So she needed to take some time off. And once she told the UFC that she was good to go, Once she told the UFC that she was ready to return and defend her title for the second time, they offered her a fight in Brazil against a Brazilian contender, Jessica Andrade, who's won three in a row, who's a bulldog, who used to fight at 135, who's one of the most aggressive fighters in that division in women's MMA. Rose Namajunas, the American, said, yes, I'm going to go to Brazil. Of all the places that the UFC could put on an event, probably for a foreigner, the most hostile environment, I'm going to go to Brazil to defend my title. After I've been through all of that with the bus incident, with the neck, 13-month layoff, I'm going to go to Brazil, and I'm going to defend my title against the Brazilian challenger. This is unheard of. No one does this. And quite frankly, they shouldn't do it. I believe she shouldn't take this fight. I believe she should have said, you want me to fight Jessica Andrade? Let me fight her in Chicago. Let me fight her in Las Vegas. Let me fight her in Atlanta. I'm not going to go to her home turf and fight her. But Rose and Pat Barry and her team felt, we're going to shut up all the critics. Everyone who thinks that we're mentally weak will watch what we do in Brazil. This is incredibly admirable. I have so much respect for Rose for doing this, and I want to stress it before the fight so that no one gives any excuses after the fight. This is incredibly impressive. She deserves all the credit in the world for this, because 99% of the UFC champions right now and in the history of the sport would not do this. And so I ask you this trivia question. Four other times this has happened before. Excuse me, this will be the fourth time that this has happened, where an American goes into another country to defend his or her title against a local. So like I said, Rose, an American, going to Brazil to defend the title against a Brazilian. This has happened three other times. This will be the fourth time that this happens in UFC history, so that tells you just how unique it is. Can you tell me the three other times that this happened? I think one is pretty easy. I've been talking about it all week. But can you tell me the other two? It's happened four other times. Also on the card. And again, you can give me a call at 1-888-729-3776. Again, 1-888-729-3776. Anderson Silva returns tonight. The aging former champion. He's fighting a guy named Jared Cannonier. And if you are not familiar with Jared Cannonier, I don't begrudge you. He's not a well-known guy, but he's looked good since dropping down to 185. Also on the card, you've got Alex Volkanovski against Jose Aldo. That's a huge fight at 145. There's a lot to talk about as far as UFC 237 is concerned. It goes down tonight on pay-per-view on ESPN+. It kicks off at 6:30. Prelims continue at 8 on ESPN, and then the main card, 10 p.m. Eastern, on ESPN+. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about Bellator. We're going to talk about Tony Ferguson versus Donald Cerrone. All that and more. This is Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart. That was your Straight Talk. Again, fourth time in UFC history that a American goes to a foreign land to defend his or her title. Who are the other three? 1-888-729-3776. After the break, only your calls. Stay right with us. We'll be back after this.
This is Ariel Helwani's MMA show.
Back on ESPN Radio, it's the Helwani Show, and I love the local Brazilian samba music because we are getting set for UFC 237 in beautiful Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's Rose Namajunas defending her UFC strawweight title against the gritty, tough, aggressive Brazilian contender, Jessica Andrade. This is the Helwani Show again on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. It is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can tweet us at the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed at ESPN Radio. Again, the number to call is 1-888-729-3776. Prior to the break, I asked you if you can name for me the three other times in UFC history, the 26-year history of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, where an American went to a foreign land to defend his or her title against a local challenger. I'm waiting for the answer to that question, but let's go to the phone lines now. I want to hear from all of you. Again, 1-888-729-3776. I also want to remind you to get triple action protection for optimal engine performance with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. All right, let's go. Mike in California, you're up first.
Hey, what's up, Ariel? Love your show, man. I'm going to go Frank Shamrock, Randy, and Sarah, Matt Sarah as a trivia question.
You got one right. I won't tell you which one, but you didn't get it all right.
Okay. All right, cool. So I love what Rose is doing tonight in Brazil. I mean, hats off. She's a boss. I kind of want to switch gears and talk about John Jones and then DC Stipe fight in August. Where does Jones go after – does Jones ultimately go to heavyweight? Because I think the DC Stipe, you know, that rematch, I think it goes the other way. So do we see Jones and him – say December time, does Jones finally make that move to heavyweight?
Okay, so we're assuming here, and thank you very much for the call, Mike. We're assuming here that John Jones is going to beat Thiago Santos July 6th, and we'll also assume for a second that Daniel Cormier is going to beat Stipe Miocic on August 17th. I think if both win, they'll try to get DC to fight one more time and fight John Jones. If he says no for whatever reason, and he told me on Monday that the only way he fights John Jones is if it's at 205 and not heavyweight, because in his mind, he feels as though, all right, this guy beat me twice at 205. I have to beat him at 205 in order to justify all of this. Quite frankly, I disagree with him, but that's why we all love DC, because he's an ultimate competitor and he doesn't feel as though it's a legit win if he doesn't beat him at 205. If I'm John Jones, I say, screw that. I'm going up to heavyweight and I'm going to take away your belt there and pretty much erase your entire legacy. But let's just say, okay, they figure it out. December might be a little quick, but I think it's possible. If DC doesn't take the John Jones fight, if they can't get it done, then I would look to Luke Rockhold to be next for John Jones. Luke Rockhold is fighting Jan Błachowicz on that same July 6th card. There are not a lot of big name contenders at 205 right now. Rockhold, a former champion at middleweight, has now moved up to 205. They want to put together that fight. So if they can't get the DC fight done, they want to give him a little more time. And Rockhold looks good in his debut, July 6th. I would suspect that they're going to make Rockhold Jones later on this year. And John Jones wants to fight at least one more time this year. Let's go to Aaron in Spokane, who I believe I spoke to on Twitter earlier today. I think this is the right Aaron. Aaron, is that you?
Yes, sir. I'm the third time's a charm. Hopefully my phone doesn't cut out this time.
I gave you my word. What's on your mind?
Thank you, sir. First off, I just want to say we need another heel Wani promo. That needs to be on next week with you and Shale. Please cut another promo.
You know, I got one. I got one. I got one in my back pocket. There's a few people that have been annoying me lately that have been trying to push my buttons, that have been trying to twist my words. And don't think that I haven't paid attention to what you guys have been doing. So I might break it out. I'll just say that. I might break it out.
God, thank you for the tease. Now I got something to look forward to. Here's my question here, Ariel. Why did the USC promote Betch Kohea and the Aldana chick? Because she missed weight. I just want to know why the UFC is going to reward people when, now, watching BJ Penn fight isn't the greatest thing anymore, but you have people on this card that have a bigger name than those two, so why are they rewarding people for missing weight? Because they don't reward people with fight bonuses like Ally Aquina,
sure,
but yet they're going to reward somebody on a pay-per-view card? That makes no sense to me.
Well, I'll ask you, why do you consider it a reward? In this day and age, less people watch the pay-per-views as opposed to the prelims, which are going to be on ESPN. There's going to be way more people watching the prelims. So if you ask me, I wouldn't call being on pay-per-view a punishment by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't really view it as a reward because she's not getting pay-per-view points. You know what I mean? So I don't really view that. I just think that they're shuffling the deck and they want to keep BJ and some of those other fights on the prelims to get people hooked, to get people enticed to watch the pay-per-view. But I honestly don't really view it as a reward. Aaron, my man, great call. Call in anytime. You always have a home here. Let's go to Joe in Massachusetts, who claims to have the answer to my trivia question. Again, the trivia question is this: tonight will be the fourth time, just the fourth time in UFC history, that an American challenger goes to a foreign land to defend his or her title against a local contender. Rose Namajunas, Jessica Andrade, strawweight title. Name the other three. Joe in Massachusetts, what's up?
I think the other three are Tio Ortiz went to Japan to fight Kondo, I believe. Matt Serra going to Montreal to fight GSP. And then Stipe facing Fabricio Werdum in Brazil.
Ah, so close. So close. You did good. So close, but you didn't quite get it, my man. Great try, though. I appreciate it. You were very close, but you didn't quite get it. What else is on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about the fight I'm most excited for. I think it should have been the co-main event. Not that that really matters, but you know, Volkanovski versus Aldo.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just going to be a burner. This is the way they both fight, and Aldo's just, I mean, he's an animal, but he's a different type of animal in Brazil. But it's Aldo wins. Do you think it's possible he can get a McGregor fight at 155? I mean, I kind of think he deserves it. Let's say if he takes out Volkanovski. I mean, if Volkanovski wins, he's probably going to get the title shot. But I'm just wondering your thoughts on that.
And I appreciate the call very much. You know, that is that's an interesting scenario because I have not heard Aldo's name come up in the Conor McGregor sweepstakes, if you will. This is the latest with Conor. So they wanted him to return July 27th, and they were talking about him fighting potentially in New York, right here in New York where I'm doing today's show. I'm not in Rio, by the way. I'm in New York. I'm in the world-famous Michael Kay Show studios, and it's very cool for me, I might add. So they wanted him to return, but I don't think that's working out. There have been some reports, I believe a reporter named Nolan King reported that they're now going to have that pay-per-view in Edmonton, July 27th. I'm hearing that as well. And so they booked that Donald Cerrone-Tony Ferguson fight for June 8th in Chicago. Of course, we know they want to book Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Dustin Poirier in September in Abu Dhabi. So things are kind of shaping up at the top, finally, of the lightweight division. There's still Justin Gaethje out there who they've talked to Conor about that they'd like for him to fight. There's Anthony Pettis out there who's probably going to stick around at 170. More on him probably next week. So right now, I would say Conor is kind of on the shelf, still figuring things out. He's certainly not retired. Don't believe that. But they don't really have a firm opponent set for him. Aldo winning tonight, maybe he moves up to 155, but I just don't get the sense that Conor is very interested in that fight because he beat him in 13 seconds and he feels like there's no way that he can top it. On the flip side, you got Volkanovski, who would improve to 20-1 in his professional career, 7-0 as a UFC fighter. If he does not get a title shot with a win over Jose Aldo in Rio, where Jose, you know, competes so well and is so dominant, it's criminal. It truly is criminal. Now, if they want to give the title shot to Frankie Edgar, who is a legend, if they want to give a title shot to Frankie Edgar because of his resume, they want to give it to him because of what he's done in the past, because he took that fight against Brian Ortega on short notice, they could do that. But Alex Volkanovski with a win tonight against Jose Aldo, who, by the way, is 2-0 against Frankie Edgar, if he has to fight someone else after beating Aldo tonight, if he beats Aldo tonight, that's criminal, in my opinion. It's absolutely criminal. So he should sit, wait. If it's going to be Holloway Edgar, which they've talked about maybe in August, then he just waits for the winner. But yes, for me, for Volkanovski, it's the number one contender fight. For Aldo, you know, he wants to fight out his deal, see what's next for him. I don't think he'll get a third crack at Max Holloway. Crazier things have happened, but maybe he just hopes that Holloway loses and, you know, he gets to fight the new champion because he's still looking very good. He's, you know, he's 2-0 in his last two fights. He's gone two finishes in a row for the first time in 10 years. Turn back the clock against Renato Moicano. He's looking amazing these days. So we'll see what happens. That's a fantastic fight. To me, that's the people's main event. That's the most interesting fight on this card because of the stakes, because of how good Volkanovski and Aldo have looked as of late. Tim, Josh, Berto, stay right there. Still want the answer to that trivia question. Who are the other three American challengers, champions, I should say, who went and defended their titles on foreign soil? I want to know. Hawani Show, ESPN Radio, app, Sirius, all those places and more back after this.
This is Ariel Hawani's MMA Show.
Nothing like fight day, and especially a fight night like tonight. Getting you ready for UFC 237 here on the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. This, of course, is Ariel Helwani. I want to hear from all of you, 1-888-729-3776, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That is the number to call. UFC 237 is tonight. The action kicks off at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Plus. That's the early prelims. Then we move to ESPN at 8 p.m. Eastern, and then it's the pay-per-view, which you can get exclusively via the ESPN app beginning at 10 p.m. Three biggest fights on the card, Rose Namajunas against Jessica Andrade in the main event, Rose defending her UFC strawweight title for the second time. Also, it's the return of former UFC middleweight champion Anderson the Spider Silva going up against Jared Cannonier, and a big one at 145, former featherweight champion Jose Aldo going up against Alexander the Great Volkanovski. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home, quote, Explorer, only at progressive.com. So the trivia question that I'm waiting for the answer to is, Rose is going to Brazil to defend her title against a Brazilian. This is just the fourth time in UFC history, the 26-year history of the UFC, where an American champion has gone to a foreign country to defend his or her title against a local contender. Can you name the other three? We've had a couple of close calls. No one has gotten it yet. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's see what Andrew in Tennessee has on his mind. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Matt Serra, Tito Ortiz, and then Ronda Rousey against Betch Kohea.
Okay, and can you give me a little more specifics on those ones?
Yeah, Matt Serra against GSP in Ontario, and then Tito, I believe he went to Japan, if I'm not mistaken.
Who'd he fight?
I can't remember who he fought off the top of my head. I know it's super early, UFC, but I couldn't remember off the top of my head. I do remember the Rousey Kohea fight, though.
I got there were two blunders in there, so I feel like it's incomplete. I feel like it's incomplete. A nice effort, no doubt, but incomplete if you ask me. I'm sorry, I'm tough. What else is on your mind?
I'm curious, do you think the winner of the Rose fight is going to have to be Tatiana Suarez? That's going to be next in line, or do you think they're going to go a different route for the winner of the Andrade Rose fight?
Great call. That's a good question. Tatiana Suarez is fighting Nina Ansaroff, so let's not forget about her. That's the next pay-per-view, UFC 238, June 8th in Chicago. And by the way, I'll have a fun announcement regarding my involvement that week in Chicago. So stay tuned for that if you're listening in Chicago or planning on going to the event. I'm very excited about that. But it would have to be, in my opinion, two options. Either the winner of Suarez-Ansaroff, and Suarez has looked good, and it seems like everyone thinks it's a fait accompli that she's going to become champion at some point. Or Michelle Waterson, who has looked good as of late, who the UFC really likes, who's represented by WME. And I could see them trying to get her a title shot sooner rather than later because she's getting up there in age, and they want to capitalize on her popularity. So it depends. I think we have to wait and see what happens with Suarez. And, of course, if Rose wins tonight, I feel like it hurts Michelle Waterson's chances because Rose has a pretty dominant win over Waterson. If Andrade wins, that could change things a little bit. So to me, it's one of those three people. We'll see how it all plays out. Let's go to Josh in Queens now. Josh, what's up?
Hey, Ariel. I'm excited I got the call because I think I have the answer to your question.
Oh, no. All right, here we go.
Okay. Tito Ortiz versus Yuki Kondo at UFC 29. Matt Serra versus GSP2, Montreal, Quebec, Canada, UFC 83, and Rousey versus Kohea at Rio de Janeiro, UFC 190.
Bang! Like Mike Breen likes to say, well done, my man. You see, there were a couple mistakes the other one. That one dude said Stipe Verdum, and like he had the first two, which were the harder ones, and then he said Stipe Verdum. Stipe was the challenger, and then Andrew in Tennessee, who I felt bad for, said Ontario for GSP Serra, which it's not. And as a fellow Quebecer, that's a massive insult. And then didn't know Yuki Kondo. You nailed it, Josh. I have no prize for you, but I'm impressed. Well done.
The bragging rights will work for me.
All right, perfect. Well done, my man. What else is on your mind?
Okay, so I wanted to just quickly ask you about obviously there's a really good triple bill at the top of the card today. Three really close fights, if you trust the odds makers. So I was just, all these fights have really big stakes. So just from the UFC's perspective, who do they have the most to gain from with a win and kind of who hurts the most with a loss? I would say if Rose wins, she could turn into a real star for them. And if Anderson loses, his marketability takes a hit. So just curious what your take on that is.
Great call, Josh, and I couldn't agree more. I feel like Rose is on the cusp. She's not quite there. I remember when Ronda went to Brazil to fight Betch Kohea, some people thought it was a mistake because they felt like, you do a pay-per-view in Brazil, not a lot of people are going to pay attention. And it felt like her popularity just exploded after that victory. So I think that if she can go to Brazil and beat Jessica Andrade, I really do believe that she will become one step closer In terms of like cementing her place as one of the faces of the UFC, because she is very marketable. She's a very interesting character. She's got a great backstory and she appeals to the casual female sports fan out there. Like my wife always asks me about Rose, always asks me when she's fighting next. When I tell her Rose is fighting next, she perks up. She's a big fan of hers, not because she's a fight fan, because she just digs Rose. So I agree with that. If Anderson loses, that is going to be tough. Because I feel like this fight is sort of a mistake for Anderson. I mean, if he wins, gets back on track, great. His confidence is back, great. His mojo is back, great. But everyone expects you to be Jared Cannonier, who's super tough. And if you lose to Jared Cannonier, everyone's shocked. And so after he fought Israel Adesanya, look, I don't subscribe to the theory that Anderson Silva is getting too old in the sense that he can't hang with some of these fighters. He's not getting embarrassed. He's not getting knocked out. He's not getting shown up in there. So he could be strategic with his fights. Now it just feels like he's just fighting anyone. And paychecks are paychecks. That's great. It's prize fighting. I get it. But let's be a little strategic here. Maybe let's go on a run. From Brunson to Adesanya to now Cannonier, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. So he has to win to stay relevant. And if you lose to Jared Cannonier, that's a big blow. But he does have three fights left, including this one on his contract. And his manager said earlier this week to ESPN that they want to keep going. He's not, you know, like this idea that he's going to retire after this one is not true. He's not slowing down anytime soon. So those two obvious are big ones. I think if Volkanovski wins, you could do something special with Whitaker Adesanya and then him fighting Holloway on the same card because he's from Australia as well. You do that card in Australia, it would be a very big deal. So there's a lot there to like as far as the UFC is concerned. It's the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. There's, you know, these shows, this is only an hour and a half, and I feel like I have to, you know, succumb to these breaks, and there's so much to talk about. There's so much to get to. There's all your great calls, and so I feel like I have to fly by here. But again, 1-888-729-3776, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's the number to call. Let's keep this train rolling along here and say hello to Berto in Michigan. Berto, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Ariel?
Not much. What's on your mind?
First, let me say, real bummed. I was one call short of being the winner to that trivia question.
Oh, my bad.
I had to tip my tongue, and congrats to the guy who got before me. Well, first, let me just tell you a little story real quick. I got tickets for UFC 238 when they went on sale, and Cejudo versus Marais was announced. And I'm taking my girlfriend with me. It's her first UFC pay-per-view. And about 1 month after I bought the tickets, I was a little disappointed for my girlfriend's sake because it wasn't really a whole lot casual friendly. You know, she's a fan of Cejudo after he beat Dillashaw, but I was really bummed out that there wasn't more names that she would know that were fighting. And, man, I about cried with tears of joy yesterday when I got heard Cowboy and Ferguson, man. My mind was blown, seriously.
It's a great fight. It's a perfect fight for that card. They needed to beef up the card. Cerrone just fought last week. Ferguson, everyone misses him. I mean, I would be shocked if that fight is boring, if that fight does not live up to all our expectations. We're up against a break here, but I really appreciate the call, Berto, and I hope to see you in Chicago because, like I said, I have something very special for everyone, so I hope that if you are attending, you'll be there Friday because something fun is in the works for all of you. But yes, Ferguson Cerrone is huge. Number one contender fight, potentially McGregor fight next. Potentially there's a lot to like there, but just from a actual fight perspective, it's phenomenal. I love that fight. I can't wait for it. And it's amazing. It's happening in 28 days. Tonight though, it's UFC 237. Also, we've got Bellator. There's so much going on in the world of MMA. After the break, more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio.
This is Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
It's the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, 1-888-729-3776, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's the number. You guys are doing great. Our trivia question has been answered. This, just the fourth time in UFC history where an American champion goes to a foreign land to defend his or her title. Rose Namajunas is doing it tonight. Defend her title, of course, against a local contender. Ortiz Kondo, back in the day in Japan. Sarah GSP in Quebec, and of course, Ronda Rousey against Beth Cohea. That's the only time where an American has gone to Brazil to defend his or her title against a Brazilian. Interesting times. We'll see how it all plays out. For now, back to the phone lines we go. Jonah in New York, what's going on?
Hey, Ariel. So I think 237 is going to be a great card. My question was about the news that you broke yesterday about the Cerrone versus Ferguson fight. I think it's going to be a great fight. And my question is if it's too soon of a return for Cerrone, because he's just coming off that 25-minute war in with Ally Quinta in Ottawa, which is actually the first ever UFC card I went to. I was there in person, really fun to be at. But he's 36, and it's at 155, which might be harder on his body at this point. So is it fair for him to have these two 25-minute fights in 5 weeks against two tough opponents? I assume because it's a true number one contender fight, it's the benefit is there for him, but I'm just wondering if you think it's fair to him.
Very good question. One slight correction. This won't be a 25-minute fight because it's not the main event, so it's just a 15-minute fight. It also isn't the shortest turnaround in his UFC career. He once had just 15 days in between fights, which is just absurd. And by the way, won both of those, beat Miles Jury and also beat Benson Henderson. Did not get injured in that fight against Ally Quinta. We know he likes to be active. We know he doesn't like to sit around. He tried to get the Conor McGregor fight, and it's just not materializing right now for him. And so he essentially said, let's keep going. And the beauty in this for him, if he still wants the Conor McGregor fight, I mean, this fight is in 28 days. So it's not like Conor's going to get booked in that time or going to be off the market, in my opinion. And so you can pick up another paycheck like he did against Ally Quinta and be fresh as a daisy if it all works out. Now, typically Tony Ferguson fights, you don't leave fresh as a daisy, but I get the thinking on his part. He doesn't want to slow down. He's 3-0 as a dad. It's a huge fight for him. And quite frankly, it might be a number one contender fight. Now, I think that a Conor fight generates more money than a title fight at this point. Conor is a title in his own right. But for him, for this fight to materialize as quickly and he wants to be active and he wasn't hurt, I think it's no harm, no foul. It's a great opportunity for him. So I like it. And I know everyone in Chicago, and they needed to beef up that card. They really did. Even though there's two title fights on it, they really felt the need to do so. So why the heck not? Speaking of Chicago, tune in for an NL Central rivalry tomorrow night as the Cubs host the Brewers, presented by Indeed. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. This is the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio. Right now, we're taking your calls, 1-888-729-3776. Back to the phone lines we go. Tim in Virginia, how are you?
Ariel the GOAT, what's up, man?
I'm doing well. All good.
I was going to talk to you about Brock, as far as him pulling out of the DC conversation. Do you know what happened with that? Because he was getting USADA tested, and, you know, it looked all set to go, and then suddenly it just pulls out. So do you have any, like, inside info on that?
In terms of Brock and USADA?
No, just with him pulling out of the DC fight.
I mean, he didn't pull out. The fight was never a done deal. They were talking. There was something on the table. And in the end, they just could not come to terms. And I think part of it is the new pay-per-view structure, the fact that the pay-per-views are exclusively on ESPN+. And it just changes things. And there's going to be a bit of a learning curve. There's going to be some growing pains because you're now changing people's spending habits and just their routine after all these years. And so they could not come to terms. Brock has done this in the past. He's negotiated publicly in the past, has let rumors, you know, sort of linger in the past, and then goes back to WWE. And that's essentially what he did here. And I suspect this is the end of the Brock Lesnar UFC relationship. Not to say that they ended it on bad terms, but just he's getting up there in age. And really, I mean, it was kind of crazy to even think that this fight made any sense whatsoever other than business sense, which I get, but he should not have been in talks to fight Daniel Cormier. That's just absurd. It's an absolute sham. So all's well that ends well for Stipe Miocic, for the sanctity of the belt. But to the best of my knowledge, it had nothing to do with USADA, had nothing to do with him pulling out necessarily. They just could not come to terms on a deal for this fight, given the new pay-per-view structure. That's essentially it. Tim in Virginia, what's on your mind?
That was on my mind, but then also...
All right. I was just talking to Tim in Virginia. Are you still there? All right. Joe in Staten Island, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Ariel? How are we doing?
I'm doing great.
You got to add one of these call-in sections to the show on Monday. This is awesome.
You like the calls. I like the calls, too.
Yeah,
Mondays, it's a little different.
You can give Mike Francesa a run for his money.
okay. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but I'll take it. He's a legend.
Yeah, no, it is a compliment, especially now. but I was going to ask, somebody asked my original question about the card tonight, so I want to switch it to Conor really quick.
It doesn't look like he's going to come back into the title scene. The only fights right now in terms of contender is probably Iaquinta and Gaethje. The Gaethje fight would be amazing. That's probably a really great fight. But I think we get him back. Madison Square Garden, 165 belt, Nate Diaz 3. What do you think of that?
Man, Dana really doesn't want that 165 belt. Really doesn't want it for whatever reason. And it makes no sense to me. I've been talking about this for a while. You're so eager to put together these interim title fights. I don't understand why you're so against the 165-pound title, which actually makes sense, and there's a market for it, and there's a demand for it from your fighters who are kind of stuck, some of them, between 155 and 170. They can't find that sweet spot. Like, Nate Diaz would 100% be all over a 165 title, to name a few, but I just don't think it's happening. I really don't. In the immediate future, like, by the time this whole thing is said and done and we're all old and gray, there will be a 165-pound title. I feel very strongly about that. I feel like it will happen. It only makes sense. Why do you jump from 55 to 70 and then to 185? It doesn't make sense. Go 55, 65, 75, 85. That's just too perfect. But November, MSG, seems a little too soon. Just a little too soon. Let's go to Rafael in Florida. Rafael, how are you? Or is it Rafael? I'm used to the Brazilian way. Is it Rafael or Rafael?
Rafael. You definitely got it correct.
All right, my man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for taking my call. The best show on the radio as a Brazilian. I'm driving here from Tampa to Orlando. What a treat to be able to listen to the show right now and be able to opinionate. But let me tell you something. I'm happy to see Aldo and Silva on the same night fighting. To me as a Brazilian, this is a treat. We happy. I'm actually driving to go to a UFC party, go watch it. And I actually got a question. I'm curious to know, when is Cron Gracie fighting again? Because we all excited to see him back, you know? Gracie, member right there in UFC, making us proud. And great show, man. I'll hear it. Thank you.
Obrigado. Obrigado, Rafael. Great call.
De nada.
Cron Gracie, they want him to return in the summer. There was some talk of him returning on this card too soon. I've heard July discussed as well. There's a lot of cards in July, so I would circle that as a potential return for Ice Cream Crone. Very excited about what he's doing, about his emergence in the UFC. He looked very good in his debut. And yeah, it's great to have Aldo and Anderson on the same card, just the second time in their respective careers that they fight on the same time. The first time was UFC 200, and Anderson Silva took that fight on like 3 days' notice, so this one feels a little more real. Two of the legends, faces of Brazilian MMA. So, yeah, I love that. That's going to be very cool. What a scene that will be in Rio this evening. Simon in Baltimore, stay right there. We got to take a break, but I want to hear from you. I want to hear from all of you. 1-888-729-3776. Again, 1-888-729-3776. It's the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio. We're getting you set for UFC 237. Don't go anywhere. Much more after this.
This is Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
All right, it's the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. We are presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. And I want to tell you a little more about our good friends over at Progressive Insurance. Also, you can tweet us at the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed at ESPN Radio. More than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Also, Mother's Day is tomorrow, but luckily for you, 1-800-Flowers still has amazing offers on beautiful Mother's Day bouquets and arrangements starting at $29.99. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com/ESPN. Huge night in MMA this evening. Bellator just outside of Chicago, Patricio Pitbull Fajed against Michael Chandler. Also, Douglas Lima against Michael Venom Page. The return of Jack Swagger, AJ McKee going up against Pat Curran. That's phenomenal stuff. But maybe even bigger, it's UFC 237, Anderson Silva against Jared Cannonier, Alexander Volkanovski against Jose Aldo, and of course, the headliner, Rose Namajunas against Jessica Andrade for the UFC's strawweight title. That's tonight on ESPN, on ESPN Plus, on pay-per-view. My guy, Big Guns Phil Murphy, ESPN's own, has been in Rio for the past few days, holding it down for all of us, and we are lucky enough to be joined by him live and direct from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, just hours before UFC 237. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing well, man, and I'm actually just getting ushered out of a gym. I was having a workout done, and my Portuguese is a little rusty. I couldn't read on the sign that it closes at 2:00 local, so perfect timing. My workout just wrapped up, whether I wanted it to or not, so now it's time to fully transition to covering the card tonight.
How fitting that Big Guns is at the gym completing a workout as we check in with him here. So you have been in Rio for the past few days. Biggest takeaway thus far, what has been the thing, the moment that has stood out the most?
I don't know if it's one moment in particular, but it's a card in which there isn't really any discernible bad blood between any two opponents. A lot of mutual respect across the board, and as much as, you know, there will be the Uvam O'Hare chance tonight in something of a hostile environment, there's this underlying respect from the fans here. I mean, they all seem to be, the fighters with whom they interact at the hotel, they seem to be very honored to meet them. A lot of bowing, a lot of hugs, a lot of even tears in the eyes for photos. And it seems like Rose Namajunas has even won over the fans a little bit. She said yesterday she was surprised. She heard the hostile reception for Alexander Volkanovski getting ready to face Jose Aldo, Jared Cannonier, similarly against Anderson Silva. Hers, there were more cheers than any of the other Americans coming in. And, you know, being the main event and with the belt on the line against Jessica Andrade, she was pleasantly surprised with that reception.
So the last time that an American went to Brazil to defend her title against a local Brazilian, of course, it was Ronda Rousey, Betchkohe, UFC 190. And being there and seeing and hearing the reaction for Ronda, who at the time, of course, was a much bigger star than Betch, but like it felt like Ronda was the Brazilian. Betch was getting booed. Do you get the sense that Rose will get a similar reaction here because she's on the cusp of becoming a huge star in the sport, one of the faces of the UFC? Or do you think that come fight time, Jessica will be the favorite and Rose will truly be in hostile territory?
Well, I think Jessica will be the home favorite, but it won't be nearly as partisan as it will be in the two fights that lead up to that. Anderson Silva, age 44, against Jared Cannonier, and Jose Aldo against Alexander Volkanovski, a fight that has direct impact on the featherweight hierarchy itself. So I've been calling it the people's co-main event, the Volko-Aldo fight. But I don't think it'll be nearly as partisan for Andrade as those two, but it doesn't sound like it'll reflect what you experienced down here, UFC 190, when Ronda won over the fans. But I will say, if Namajunas impresses and wins impressively, it wouldn't surprise me if the fans adopted her as their own. They all seem to have received her very warmly this week, both from what I've observed and what she's told us directly.
One of the big questions going into this card is, will the winner of Volkanovski, Aldo, get a title shot? And in particular, Volkanovski, does he deserve a title shot with a win over Aldo? What's your take? If you're the matchmakers, do you give it to him next?
I wouldn't hesitate to do it, in fact. I mean, he's got that would put him at 7-0 in the UFC. It would put him at 20-1 in his career with 17 straight wins. And you look at the rest of the featherweights, Max has done a decent job of clearing out most of them. Volko would be the one whose stock would be rising, especially if he's coming to Brazil, beating Jose Aldo in Brazil. Aldo, in his career, in pre-UFC, 8-1 fighting in Rio. He was 8-0 until he ran into Max Holloway at UFC 212. So I would say I would give the nod to Volko, and he said that's been his plan all along, to go through Mendes, take on Aldo, beat Aldo, and then go for Max. And only one other guy has knocked down those three dominoes in that order, and that was Conor McGregor. But the pitch on that mountain's about to get a lot steeper tonight. And Volko, I don't know if he's uniquely wired for the moment or if he's just not aware of what he's about to step into, but he seems to be completely unaffected by any of the atmosphere. And I think we'll know which side of that fence he falls on very early in that fight, whether he's uniquely equipped for this moment and for this stage, or if he's going to be in over his head.
Great stuff all week. I'll be talking to you at around, I do believe, 7 Eastern or 8 Eastern. I don't know. I don't remember. What a time is our preview show on YouTube and Twitter? Do you know?
Our YouTube show our preview show on YouTube and Twitter, it is 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Brazil.
Brazil,
so
7,
7
yes.
p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Mountain. That's all that works.
Okay, yes, it's all very confusing.
We're only an hour ahead here, but it's easier if we were in Europe, man. It's like the hour difference is too close. It's messing us up.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right.
Leading into the ESPN portion of the show.
I look forward to it. I'll talk to you then. Thanks, Phil.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines now because we're up against the clock here. Simon in Baltimore. What's up?
What's up, Helwani? How are you?
I'm good.
So I don't know about you, but I've loved this tear of Jose Aldo just going and murking all the top contenders in the division. If he does so with Volkanovski tonight, what's your dream matchup for Aldo's next fight?
Man, you know, I like that Conor idea, and of course anyone against Conor is fun, but him trying to get another crack at Conor, after what Connor did to him, because I remember the way he, you know, he was crying in the back, the way he was so devastated. It just felt like, to me, I am so happy about the fact that the first line atop Aldo's resume, when it's all said and done, when they write the story on him, it won't be the 13-second loss, because I feel like at a time it was trending in that direction, and it was kind of sad. It bummed me out because he's done so much more. He's been so important in the growth of this sport, and in my opinion, the greatest featherweight champion of all time. And he has done a very good job of distancing himself from that loss. And so it would be cool to see him get another crack at it, because enough time has passed. But I don't think Conor's going to take that fight. But if you ask me, because right now there's nothing going on really for Conor, that would be a lot of fun. It would be cool to see him try to right that wrong, if you will. Helwani Show, ESPN Radio. Let's go to one more call before we take another break. But the rest of you, Paul, Eddie, Ryan, the rest of you, just stay right there. Ben in North Carolina, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Ariel?
Not much. What's up, getting ready. Ariel? UFC 237. What's up?
Not much, man. I'm going to be pulling for Rose, man. Fell in love with her during the Ultimate Fighter before she shaved her head and everything. But, I mean, she's still awesome. Glad she's recovered from her neck injury. But my question really for you is Ben Askren going to finally, like, show us the real Ben Askren against Jorge Masvidal? Or is Masvidal going to show us that Ben Askren doesn't really belong with the elite of the UFC?
Who's the real Ben Askren, though?
Well, the undefeated MMA fighter, Ben Askren.
Yeah.
From ONE FC and Bellator, not from UFC, and his almost debacle against Robbie Lawler.
All right. I get your point, Ben. Thank you for the call. I mean, look, that did not start out well, but all's well that ends well, and it was sort of the perfect ending for his UFC debut, because he has ruffled so many feathers. This is an interesting matchup. Apparently they have trained together in the past, and Ben got the best of Jorge Masvidal. So we'll see what happens. Masvidal is riding high these days. His confidence is tremendously high. Ben is a tough wrestler, of course. His striking, certainly not at the level of his wrestling. So we'll see what happens as far as him trying to get Masvidal down to the ground. But I think it's a really tough matchup for Ben. I also think it's a tough matchup for Masvidal, and those are the best ones. But that's in July. Tonight it's UFC 237. We still have a boatload of calls to get to, so we're going to take a quick break here. But after the break, more of your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Ah, yes, the famous Anderson Silva walkout song, "Who Turned Off the Lights? Ain't No Sunshine" by DMX. We will hear it tonight at UFC 237. The action kicks off at 6:30 on ESPN Plus. You can get the pay-per-view exclusively via the ESPN app as well. This is the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Again, 1-888-729-3776. This is our last segment of the day. They're giving me 90 minutes this time. Blasphemous. How could they do that to all of us? So that means we got to rifle through all of these calls, because I know a lot of you are waiting. Before I get to the calls, let me just give you a reminder. You know I love the NBA. You know I live and breathe all things NBA as well. So I want to remind you to tune in tomorrow afternoon for a huge Game 7 between the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers. Coverage begins at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and most ESPN radio stations. You can also hear full reaction to Game 7 Monday morning on Golic and Wingo. Golic and Wingo, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Go Blazers. Let's go to Paul in North Carolina. Paul, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Ariel? I just wanted to say, first off, I am so impressed by your growth in your career over the years. I've been following you and MMA for the better part of 20 years, the last 20 years, and I'm just super impressed by you. I turn on my radio, and I'm in Raleigh, and I'm just like, is that seriously Ariel Helwani on my radio right now? Like, I'm just blown away. I'm just super impressed by your career growth, and I got a quick question.
Who sure, and you thank you for that, by the way. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, you deserve it, man. You're just like, oh, man. You are, like, in my life, you're a big part of what MMA means, and just, you know, the reporting you do is incredible. You deserve every success, everything that you get.
Thank you so much.
But my question, who do you see when everything settles in 20, 30 years from now, when we look back on, you know, these early years of MMA and the UFC expanding and growing, who are we going to look back and say, there's the Michael Jordan of MMA, or there's the you know, there's the Kobe Bryant, and, you know, who's going to be like the big names that we try to discuss and say, that's the guy, that was the guy, these are the guys, you know, who's going to be that pound for pound king that we look back and we all go, yup, that was the guy. Is it going to be Fedor? Who is it going to be, GSP?
Yeah. You know, it's
that's
tough.
My question.
It's very tough. And by the way, go Hurricanes. I'm pulling for them as well. But yeah, it's very tough. My list is GSP, Daniel Cormier, John Jones, Fyodor certainly in that discussion as well. But that's my top three, if you will, DJ in that discussion. There's some guys coming up like Israel Adesanya these days, you know, who have potential to be great. Max Holloway has potential to be one of the greats. Tony Ferguson has potential to be one of the greats. But when I think of who's my top three right now of all time, I would say it's GSP, John Jones, Daniel Cormier. And GSP number one because he doesn't have any asterisks on him. And then maybe Jones is past DC because, you know, he technically beat him twice, but then he has the asterisk. So GSP number one and then Jones DC, you can kind of fight it out. But I really appreciate the call and the nice words. I have a blast doing this. It's an honor doing the shows and working for ESPN. This is really a dream come true. Eddie in Texas, what's on your mind?
Hey, Ariel. Thanks for taking my call. Longtime listener, first time caller. I agree with the gentleman that just spoke. You do a fantastic job for the MMA community.
Thank you.
My question is around, you know, the GOAT conversation. Personally, I think John Jones is the GOAT. And I was happy to hear DC's, you know, thinking about taking on that third fight, even though personally I don't think he's going to, you know, stand a chance. In your opinion, where does he stand the better chance, at light heavyweight or at heavyweight? Second part of my question is, outside of DC, who's the most intriguing matchup for John Jones?
Wow. I think he has a better chance at heavyweight. I think Daniel Cormier is healthier at heavyweight, powerful, more powerful at heavyweight. And of course, he's only lost to one guy at light heavyweight, but he's undefeated at heavyweight. So I would give him the nod at heavyweight. I understand why he wants to do it at light heavyweight because he's that kind of a competitor. But if I had to advise him, I would say stick to heavyweight. I mean, at this point, you're like walking around at 250 pounds. It's just crazy to cut down. As far as next for Jones, I'm looking at Luke Rockhold if he wins on July 6th. Kyle in Ohio, how are you?
Good. How are you, Ariel?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
First question, for a young guy like me, I'm 24. What would you recommend, like, to get started in the field that you're in?
Well, what I did was I essentially started my own website. I used to write to fighters via MySpace. I would ask them for interviews and just looked at the landscape and said, all right, what's missing in this sport? Interviews. I thought good interviews were missing. So that was my niche. That was how I was going to differentiate myself. You have to look at the landscape right now and see how you can be different, because if you're doing what everyone else is doing, you won't stick out.
Yeah, because you're definitely a guy I look up to and definitely want to get in this field because of you, because I've followed you for, you know, the whole time I've been a UFC fan and MMA fan. But my big question is, tonight's Volkanovski-Aldo fight, do you think the winner of that fight should get a shot at Max Holloway's 145-pound belt?
If it's Volkanovski, 100% yes. If it's Aldo, no, he's 0-2 against him. Then you go with Frankie Edgar. But if it's Volkanovski, 1,000% yes. 20-1 in his career he'd be at that point. 7-0 in the UFC. I don't see how you can deny him of that. There's just no way. Let's go to, I'm going to botch this, so my apologies. Nathan in New Jersey. How are you?
Oh, perfect. That was perfect, Ariel. my question would be, what's your thoughts on the Anderson Silva Cannonier fight? Because the way I see it, Cannonier, he has that one-punch power, but Anderson Silva, you know, his entire thing is that movement and how he moves and he makes people miss. And in my opinion, I think Anderson Silva is going to win, but it's going to be a harder fight for Anderson Silva than Cannonier because Anderson Silva has to fight a perfect 15 minutes. So my question is just, what's your thoughts on the fight and who you think is going to win?
I'm leaning towards, so I don't like to make predictions only because the fighters get mad at me, but I suspect they're not listening to us right now. I'm leaning towards Anderson Silva. Again, I don't think Anderson is looking old these days. I don't think he's getting outclassed. He's certainly not getting knocked out. He hung in there with Israel Adesanya. Clearly he's older. Clearly he's slower. Doesn't have as much on his fastball, but I don't think that he is a bum by any stretch. Cannonier looked good in his middleweight debut, but David Branch, with all due respect, is not Anderson Silva. even at this juncture, even though Anderson is close to 45. So I like Anderson in this fight. Back in Rio, he's performed well there. UFC 134, UFC 153 against Stephen Bonner and Yushin Okami, respectively. I think this is an opportunity for him to get back on track. Cannonier's tough, but he's never fought on a stage like this. He's never fought an opponent like this. Sometimes the bright lights get to you. So I think this is an opportunity to get Anderson back on track and get his mojo going again as well. So I look for him to have a nice performance. Maybe not a finish, but to go the distance and pick up a W. Ryan in Ontario, Canada will be our last caller of the day. Where in Ontario are you, Ryan?
Hi, Ariel. I'm from St. Catharines.
All right. Fellow Canadian, my man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks.
I just want to say, first of all, I'm a younger UFC fan, so I started watching probably like 3-4 years ago. I haven't like watched it for a longer time, but I remember when I first started like watching UFC fights on YouTube, I remember seeing compilations like of your interviews. So I just want to say thank you for helping me getting interested in the sport of MMA and stuff like that.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So my question for you is, what division do you think the UFC needs more right now? 165-pound division or 195-pound division?
100%, it's 165. There aren't enough guys at 195 to justify it. I wouldn't even advocate for a 195 right now. I would go 155, 165, 175, so bump Usman up to 75, then go 185, 205 heavyweight. 195 maybe in the future, but there's just not enough guys for 195. 165, there are enough guys right now. Kevin Lee, Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal, they would all jump at the opportunity to fight at 165, so that would be it if you ask me. All right, we're out of time. What a day, what a night coming up. UFC 237, Bellator in Chicago. Rose Namajunas, will she still be the strawweight champion come Monday when we talk again? We'll find out. Also, Anderson Silva, can he turn back the clock? Can Jose Aldo turn back the clock? There is so much to discuss. There's so much to look forward to. It all kicks off 6:30. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to Phil Murphy. Appreciate it as always. Peace. I'm out of here.